Welcome back, everybody. Monday night to our Tefillah series. We are now on part four. And from what I thought when we started this series, we're going to extend it a week. It's going to be a five-part series now. And that's because there's so much in each of the bakashos. There is so much there to discuss that we got to take our time and just make sure that we get all the way through. Because again, when we can understand what we're trying to accomplish and what we are trying to say in the brachos, it is going to be a totally new experience for us. And you guys all get tremendous credit coming out in the rain. Nothing can stop us from this tefillah year, so we appreciate it. And Amir Tashem will continue to go together and grow together in this series. So, we tonight are going to be focusing on the brachos from Vili Yerushalayim Ircha, which is the beginning of the brachos of Yerushalayim. So we go from Binyan Yerushalayim to Malchus Beis David to Shema Kolenu, which is Kabbalah Tefillah. And if we have time, we'll start the Avodah, the Ritzei, going through Vesecha Zena. That's going to be our goal for tonight, but we'll see what we get up to. So now these, as remember when we broke down the bakashos, we started talking about how they kind of break up from individual to more general klal-oriented types of bakashos. So this is a klal-oriented bakasha that is more focused on the physical redemption that we're hoping to one day have. So we start with Vili Yerushalayim. And before we do this, and we talk about Yerushalayim as being something which is so important to us, we need to give a little bit of a background. So we know that in 1967, everything changed. For me at least, my whole life we had access to Yerushalayim. So I can't really relate to something before that where we had no access. But it's important to remember that for a significant portion of our history, we did not have access to Yerushalayim. What we are able to do now, and you look at some of these yeshivas like the Tiv and HaKotel, they're going to go and dance down to the Kotel on Friday night. That's a crazy concept to think about not all that long ago. And it's crazy to think about the amazing miracles that it took. HaKotel Biyadenu, that clip, is crazy. It's wild, and it's something that we need to appreciate every second. We know Hashem sometimes shows His hands in a more clear way than others. Mashkiach menachalonot, meitzitz menacharakim. Sometimes Hashem is showing His power from close up, sometimes from afar. This was a time where it was certainly coming from up close. It was a time not so long after the Holocaust, where it looked like the Jews were going to be utterly destroyed again. And we went from that to having access to the Kotel and having access to Yerushalayim. Just an unbelievable miracle. And we need to appreciate that which we have with us. Now, it goes even further, I think, in terms of the access to Yerushalayim and what it is that we're celebrating. You know, Tu B'Av, the Gemara tells us, is one of the two greatest days on our calendar. Now, we just had Purim. Purim was a lot of fun. And there's always other Pesach and Sukkot and Shavuos. What are the two greatest days, say the Gemara, in our calendar? So Tu B'Av is one. What's the other one? Yom Kippur, right? Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. So I can understand Yom Kippur, even though maybe some people, I think Charlie Harari likes to say that when it comes to Yom Kippur, people are thinking, wow, thank God only 364 days or 354 days till the next Yom Kippur. Okay, there is a certain sense of relief when Yom Kippur is over, except for when Bruce is davening, then you just want it next time ever. There's always a certain sense of relief. Any other chazan here? Okay. There's always a certain sense of, Alan also, of course. There's always a certain sense of relief when it comes to the end of Yom Kippur, but we know that there's a tremendous power to that day. We know the clean slate is something that, you know, who wouldn't want that? We spoke about on Shabbos in the main shul that Hashem doesn't laugh. We have to remember that when it comes to Yom Kippur. Even though someone else, let's say someone, I think the mashal we gave was about a principal in school. So there's a kid who's doing something that's not supposed to be done. So the kid goes and gets called to the principal's office. The principal says, what are you doing? I'm so sorry. It was an accident. I really didn't mean to. Fine. First time, we'll accept the apology. Second time, maybe we'll accept the apology. Third time, the principal's laughing at the kid. Your apology means nothing. But Hashem does not laugh because we can say we're sorry today, tomorrow. We try. We mean it. But we're also human and we slip and we fall. And God knows that. Yom Kippur's a big deal. We get that. Tu B'Av, though, a bit more of a question mark. What's so special about Tu B'Av? So the Gemara comes and gives six possible reasons why Tu B'Av is so special. One reason is because it was a special day for Shidduchim. This is when the men and the women, they would go out to the field and they'd have this big Shidduchim thing. And that's why there's a major Shidduch push around that time. And we know that that's a tremendous simcha, certainly something that we daven for. And we hope that everyone should be able to find B'Shah. B'Shah Tovu Maslachas, it should only be good things for everyone in that regard. But we also know there are other suggestions given. Rav Masna says that on Tu B'Av, it was the day that the Haruge Beitar were able to be buried. Haruge Beitar, so what happened was, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so the city of Beitar, with like almost 1 million people, was totally decimated. And the Jews ran away and fled. And then a week later, they came back and they came and they saw that all the bodies were still there and they had not yet decomposed. So they were able to give them a proper burial. And it was based on this that the Chachamim in Yavne said, we're going to make a new bracha called Hatov Vehametiv. Hatov, that they have not disintegrated, and Hametiv, that we're able to give them a proper burial. This is the most celebratory bracha that we have in our entire liturgy of brachos. And it was made at that time. So we can discuss for a while what's so unique about that, what's so special about that, and the yisod seems to be, the answer seems to be, that that was God's way of showing that imo anochi b'tzara, that Hashem has not forgotten us, Hashem is in the pain with us, Hashem still cares about us. The Jews thought that it was over, their relationship with God was done. Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, everyone's being killed. But they see this miracle and they say, oh, okay, there's still hope. It's a tough time, we'll get through it. And we're going to keep plugging along. So there's so much there, but there's another reason why Tu B'Av might be a great day. And this is given in the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Gemara says that it was a time when the Jews were able to be Ole L'Regel again. That they were able to go ahead and be Ole L'Regel. They were able to go visit Yerushalayim during the holidays. This was a time where they can gain all the inspiration. One of the great miracles is that Yerushalayim would constantly expand. So everyone was able to fit. In fact, one of the 10 miracles that happened every single day in the Beis HaMikdash, says the Mishnah in Avos, is that people would come into the Beis HaMikdash area and somehow there would be room for everybody. So some Mefarshim like to say, if you actually look at the language, it doesn't say that there was room for everybody. It was really tight. So what was the miracle? Get this. The miracle is that a lot of Jewish people were cramped and no one complained. Big deal, right? That's not so pasha. But that's what they say. That was the big miracle that no one complained. Bottom line is, there was a miracle that the Jews were able to go back and be Ole L'Regel. So what happened? What's the historical context of this? So we know that Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash and everything was hunky-dory, was amazing. He's king for another bunch of years. But then there's already a split come the times of his son. Who's his son? Rechavam, right? So his son is Rechavam. He ends up being king over just two of the nations. He made a very bad tax decision because he decided he wanted to tax the people at a very high rate. People rebelled on that. It's not a new problem. People rebelled on that, and then Yeravam became the king of the 10 tribes. So you have 10 tribes and 2 tribes. And Yeravam recognized that if people were to go be Ole L'Regel, if they were going to go and actually serve God in the way that they're supposed to, people might be inspired and realize, okay, maybe we made a big deal about, you know, money's a big deal, true, but like maybe we made a big deal about this and maybe we should go back and do tshuva. So he set up different stations outside and different avodah zarahs that they can go be Ole L'Regel to. And this was a big problem because people did not go and be Ole L'Regel until a person named Hoshea ben Ela came around and he said, this is ridiculous. And he killed all the guards, he killed the king. And he said, now everyone can go be Ole L'Regel. And because they had access to Yerushalayim now, that's why Tu B'Av is known as a very special day. Interesting. Comes the Marsha, and he asks a question. He says, well, let's look at the end of that story. How did that story end? The Jews now got access after all these years of not having access. They're able to be Ole L'Regel, but what happened? Nobody went, and nobody cared. In fact, some say that's the reason why the Jews were put back in Golos, because they had the opportunity to, and they didn't. It wasn't there. They just didn't go. So that's what we're celebrating. Tu B'Av is one of the happiest days of the year because the Jews missed an opportunity and ended up costing them, making them going back into Golos. So Rabbi Leibowitz wanted to suggest something very interesting. He said, just having access to Yerushalayim is still worth celebrating and making it one of the greatest days in our history. Making it the greatest day on our calendar, along with Yom Kippur, just for the fact that we had access to Yerushalayim. And now think about what we have, and you look about what's happening, it's very hard to look around what's happening in Yerushalayim and not think it's Reishis Tzmichas Geulaseinu, that it's Aschalta de Geulta, that it's the beginning of the redemption process. It's very exciting to see. Now, obviously, there's a lot of other things that need to happen also, whatever your politics are, and Debbie certainly got to hear more than anyone over these last few weeks as she was there on the conference, and there's just so much going on. True, and there's so much that needs to be worked out, true, but you look at the amount of building that's being done, and the building after building after building after community that's going up, and something's going on, right? It's all being put in place. Is it exactly how we would envision it in the times of Mashiach? Maybe not yet, but we know things are moving in that direction, and Hashem's got a plan, certainly. So we see that there's still so much there, but again, we're still mixed feelings because we know that it's not fully ours and we don't have that full jurisdiction. The Rambam talks to us, you know, you watch some of these videos about who has the real ancestral heritage right to Yerushalayim. The Rambam says that this goes very far back for us. Adam HaRishon may have been created from the dirt of Har Habayis. And then Adam brought the first carbon. Noach may have come out from the Mei HaMabul. Abraham with the Akedas Yitzchak. There's so much there that goes back to Yerushalayim. We know Yerushalayim is supposed to be the center of our lives. And we have no idea the role that Yerushalayim was supposed to play in our lives at its height, what it was supposed to be like for the times of this bracha. But we know that wherever we are in the world, and we're going to daven, where do we face? Which way is Mizrach? Why are we looking for Mizrach? We're going to face Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim is the key to our lives, to our spiritual key. If we had it and we understood what it was, and I'll admit, it's hard to fully understand, but when you read about it, when you look what it was supposed to be and is supposed to be eventually, we see that there's something missing, and we should feel that. Now let's start with this bracha itself. So it says, V'li Yerushalayim ircha baracha mim tashuv. What's unique about the beginning of this bracha? Interesting that it starts with a vav. There's only one other bracha that starts with a vav, and that's V'la malshinim. And we spoke about how maybe that was a redacted version, and maybe it's a continuation, but some people say over here that V'li Yerushalayim was really a combined bracha with Es Tzemach David. The Shemona Esrei, maybe when they made V'lam Al Shinim, we associate that as bracha number 19. Maybe that was really number 18, because Es Tzemach and V'li Yerushalayim were put together, and then they were later separated for whatever reason. But one's before the other. So they flipped the order because they wanted to have Yerushalayim before Es Tzemach. Not everyone says this. One explanation. Some say that it's very much connected to the Tzadikim, and that's why the Vav is there. But it's interesting to note that it's there with the Vav in the beginning. Now, it's also interesting that normally, whenever we have a bracha, the last phrase before the bracha part of the bracha is known as the chasima. We try to encapsulate what the bracha is all about before we get to the actual bracha itself. So if you look here, it says, V'sishko misocha kasher dibarta, uvnei osa v'karov b'yamenu binyan olam, that we want to have it built very soon in our days, a binyan olam, we'll talk about what that means. V'chisei David mehera l'socha tachin. But then it starts talking about the Mashiach, that we should have the malchus-based David back in its place. So that seems to fit better into Es Tzemach David, right? Because that's talking about continuing the throne of King David. So that's why some people think that maybe this was one big bracha, because that's how it ends. In fact, so the Rav Soloveitchik, when he would daven for the Yom, when he davened Shemoneh Esrei, he would flip those last two verses. So he would say, and then, now, I always heard the Rav did this. Yesterday, I went to that YU Yom HaKahal event, and Rav Tversky, who just lost his mother, which is the Rav's daughter, so Rav Meir Tversky was a grandson of the Rav, and his mother was Rav's daughter. She just passed away a few weeks ago, which is, she's such a tzaddik, it's unbelievable. So he was davening mincha for the Amud, and not everyone pays attention during Chazar Shashat, myself included, but because I had prepared this year, I'm like, oh, I wonder what he does. And he, Taka switched it. He did. So he read it the way that the Rav would do it, which makes a lot of sense, because that's his grandfather. He read it, again, the final line of this bracha was, Uvneo Sabakarov B'yameinu bin Yan Olam. Fine, very good. So that's just a little bit about the text and the order of this bracha. The Rav Mchal and others say that when we daven for Geula, it makes Hashem really happy. When we're davening for that ultimate redemption, that's something that Hashem appreciates very much. The mashal they give is, imagine you have a king and he has to go and exile his son. It's always a king and a son. They have to go and exile the prince, and for whatever reason, he gets put into a ditch. And he's stuck in this ditch and he needs to get out. How's he going to survive? And he gets all these guards to come to him and ask him, what do you need? What do you need? He says, can I have blankets? Can I have pillows? Can I have this food? Can I have that food? Can I have this TV? Can I have that thing? Can I have this? And everyone just asked to come out of the ditch. You're missing the point. Stop asking for all these other comforts. Just ask to come out of the ditch. And that's what they say in terms of us with Golos. We're davening, oh, we want this to work out. That's what we're going to do. All that's important. But ask to be freed. And then it'll be a totally different experience. It's certainly what to think about as we are going through these brachos. We also need to realize that there have been so many people that have davened for this before. So now all of a sudden, me and you, we're going to daven for this, and now the Geula Mashiach is going to come. And the answer is that we're coming on the shoulders of all who have come before us. Yeah, we're known as Ikvisa de Mashiach, the heels. We might be the lowest part, and maybe there is Yiridas Hadoros. You look, from what we come from greatness. Maybe we're not to that standard necessarily. Maybe we are, maybe we're not. But we're coming on the heels of all of that. You need the heel to be able to walk also. And it's all there. We're coming on the shoulders of all of the great ones that have come before us. Now let's look a little bit more back into this bracha. So we say, V'li Yerushalayim ircha. We are asking for this because Hashem, it's for you. It's your city. We want your honor to be glorified. We want to make sure you're getting what you're supposed to. V'sishkom b'socha means that in Yerushalayim, we want you to go and dwell, but also we want that Hashem should be within us. We want to be able to feel that Tzelem Elokim within us. We're asking that just like v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, that we should build a Beis HaMikdash so Hashem will come there. We can be one with Hashem. That's what we're asking in this bracha as well. Uvnei osa. So we say, and build it. We're asking Hashem to build it and to go and live there with us. Again, we want Hashem to have His unique presence in Yerushalayim so we can go and experience it the way it's supposed to be. And then we say Bikarov. What's Bikarov? Bikarov means that it should happen right away. And we believe it could happen at any time of ever. There's no set time. Any second, anything can happen, and we mamish believe that. There's a big machlokas. How is the Beis HaMikdash going to be rebuilt? Is it going to be from us, or is it just going to fall from heaven? Maybe it's a combination of both. But this concept that anything can happen at any time is something we need to think about. And I think, to me, I saw something, you know, when you read the news sometimes it's a little depressing, and it is depressing a lot of times, but sometimes you get some gems out of it. And I was reading Yeshiva World News recently, when the Pele family had this terrible terror attack happen, and I was reading these words of Tchumim, these words of consolation that Rav Zilberstein gave the family, and I was blown away. He says, L'chavod the dear and beloved Pele family, Shalom Ubracha. It is known that the Belzer Rav, the Belzer Rebbe, Rav Aaron Zatzal, fled from Galicia at the beginning of the Holocaust and moved from place to place for 4 years and arrived at Eretz Yisrael after he lost his entire extended family of 70 people, and he knew that most of his Hasidim were murdered al Kiddush Hashem. The first Shabbos he was in Eretz Yisrael was Parshas B'Shalach, and he gave a Dvar Torah, which was unbelievable. He said as follows. The Torah tells us that after the Jews crossed the Yamsuf, they turned around and sang Az Yashir. They were so excited, such a shira. It's the way they explain it with a shira, that it was unbridled joy. They couldn't even contain themselves, and song just came out. It was unbelievable, like High School Musical. It's terrible, I shouldn't say that. It was just unbridled joy. They couldn't help themselves. They just started singing, and it was just unbelievable. So if you look, Rashi, on this word Yashir, so Az Yashir, then they will sing. Yashir is in future tense. Why? Rashi explains, this is the source for the fact that Tchiyas HaMesim is from the Torah. That we believe that all who have come before us, the great giants that we come from, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, whoever it is that we're dealing with, they will come back one day. We believe that. In fact, I think we spoke in one of the other shiurim about a philosophical debate that was happening between one of the Amoraim and one of the Minim, one of the heretics, and they were saying, you're telling me that God can't bring back those who are dead. That's crazy, because you're telling me that God can only bring babies out of nothing but can't bring back dead people from the fact that they were alive. Again, God could do anything. So this is how we know. Az Yashir, that's how we know that Tchiyas HaMesim is from the Torah. Ask some of the Mefarshim, why is this the source? Why would you do it there? Let the Jews go and cross Mitzrayim. Let them sing their song. Tchiyas HaMesim over there. What's the pshat? So Rav Zilberstein explained from the Belzer Rav. He explained beautifully. He said that just a few psukim earlier was Makas Choshech. Right? Makas Choshech was a very unique Makkah, because not only did the Mitzrayim get harmed, but the Jews also. Right? The pasuk says Vachamushim, which Rashi explains that only 1/5 of the Jewish people were actually able to leave the land of Mitzrayim. 4/5 died. That's crazy. 80% died. Not all the Jews were merited to be able to go out. Hashem didn't want the Mitzrim to see the Jews get killed. So did it when it was dark, and that's what it was. Comes the Belzer Rav and says, when the Jews are now leaving to go out of Mitzrayim, most of these hundreds of thousands of people just lost relatives. And they just lost loved ones. And they were really having a hard time. You can imagine. It's very hard to see that much death. 80% of the people died. So they go in there crossing the Yamsuf, and Hashem says, Az Yashir. And they say, Az Yashir. Why? They learn about Tchiyas HaMesim in HaTorah. Shira, this song of Az Yashir, can only come when you're besimcha, when you're happy. They learn this lesson that Tchiyas HaMesim can come at any time, that these people that they lost are going to come back. It's not gone forever. Not only, as the Zohar says, are they with us in every decision and with every lesson and with every ideal and message that they've given over to us in their lifetime, but even once they've passed, we believe they're coming back. And now once they're coming back, that gave the Jewish people such a simcha, they were able to sing Az Yashir. And that's why it says that. And he ends off, and he said, see it over here? And so we will say, after the terrible tragedy in which the Kedoshim, Asher, Menachem, and Yaakov, Yisrael, Hashem, Yom Kodamu were killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, the tzar is very deep, but we must remind ourselves that soon, mamish soon, coming from Zilberstein, one of the Kedoshim Hador, Tchiyas HaMesim will occur, and you will quickly be zocher to be united with them again. when Mashiach comes at the building of our Beis HaMikdash, b'mheira b'yameinu amen. An amazing bracha. An amazing idea. Bekarov means mamish soon. His words, not mine. Mamish soon will be reunited with all those who have come before us. We then say binyan olam, that we're hoping to go and have this eternal thing, this eternal structure. One explanation is that it's eternal. Otherwise, what it could mean is that it means once Yerushalayim is built, the whole world is finally complete. Kind of like a bris milah. Once you do the bris, oh, you're taken away. How could it be? That's how you complete the boy. Same thing with, well, it's really not the same thing at all. But anyway, point is when you rebuild Yerushalayim, then you can go ahead and do stuff. And that will be the entire world. So that's what we said. The Malchus, we want Hashem to establish His Malchus there in Eretz Yisrael. And just before we get to that, we said Bekarov Biyamenu. We said Bekarov, we gave our whole explanation as to what Bekarov means. Biyamenu means in our days. Simple explanation is that it means we want it to happen while we're here so we could see it. And that's really what the bracha V'sechazena Eininu B'shuvcha Yom Rachamim, that we're asking Hashem, let us be able to witness this. But also Biyamenu, through the way that we're living in our days, our actions matter, that can bring the Geula B'mheira B'karov. That if we're acting the way that we're supposed to, that can go and bring that. Baruch Atah Hashem, Bonei Yerushalayim, that Hashem should build the Beis HaMikdash. But also, the Gra points out that everything that happens to us in our lives is building towards Geula. And we should be able to recognize that and be on that trajectory. We should be on that path. That is the end of that bracha for now. So much to think about. So much jam-packed into a small bracha that I know for myself, oftentimes I don't even remember if I said it. It's bad. But we got to make sure to be able to think. There is so much there. Fine. Then we go into this bracha of Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehera Satzmiach. So this is the bracha of Malchus Beis David, asking for the Mashiach to come, which we believe, again, is going to be the ultimate Savior, and is going, again, not God, we're not davening to the Mashiach. This is a Navi, a Shliach of Hashem, that's going to hopefully be that Redeemer. So what exactly is it that we're asking for? Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehera Satzmiach, we're asking for this growth. We want the divine salvation that we're looking for, not just the Beis HaMikdash, but we want the Malchus Beis David to take effect. We want the proper type of kingdom. That's what we're looking for. Some of the Mepharshim point out that one of the names that's commonly used for the Mashiach is Tzemach. So that's why we're saying Es Tzemach. What's the other most common name that might be used for the Mashiach? Menachem, which might make a lot of sense to whatever. Yeah. Point is that that's why some people, exactly, that might be where they were excited about that from. So that could be from there. Good. What's interesting is that this is something which we need to preserve in order to go and live in our fullest way. There is a crazy Gemara in Gittin Andaf Nun Vav Amun Aleph. This is the Gemara of the Churban. This is the Gemara that we read on Tisha B'Av. This is the entire wild story of the besieging of Yerushalayim, where they were stuck and they were all going to get killed. And it was a very terrible time, and there was so much infighting. The Jews had 21 years worth of food that they could have survived with, but they had civil war, infighting, and fellow Jews burned that entire granary of food, and they were all now starving. Even the richest people of the time had to go and eat out of the trash cans. Marta bas Baitus, it was a terrible, terrible, terrible situation. So the Gemara talks about how this is all when the Churban Beis HaMikdash of Bayis Sheni was happening. There was so much bloodshed, so much death, and it was just awful. At this hour, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was able to get through the besieged walls. He was able to get out of Yerushalayim and talk to Vespasian himself. And through their conversation, he was able to heal his kid, whatever it was. He had three requests. He said, ask me anything and I will give it to you. And he got three requests. Does anyone know what his three requests were? What'd you say? Beitar is close, but I think Yavne, excellent. Give me Yavne and their Chachamim, which Rashi says, don't destroy Yavne and its Chachamim, right? Which is basically what we just said. The second one was the offspring of Raman Gamliel. Make sure to take care of Raman Gamliel's family. They were the family of the Nasi. Don't kill them so that we will be able to continue the Malchus Beis David. And what's the third one? Take care of Rabbi Tzadok. Rabbi Tzadok was trying to get a kapara for the Jewish people, so we fasted for 40 years. And he was not healthy because of that. Don't do that. You don't need to fast for 40 years. If anyone's thinking about fasting 40 years, talk to me first. I can barely make it through a day. Good luck to you, all of you who want to do 40 years. But he fasted for 40 years. Take care of Rabbi Tzadok. Now, some criticize Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. You had the ear of the general who could have saved the entire Jewish people, and these are the three things that you're asking for. Why did he ask for these three things? So some want to say that his three requests were three guidelines as to how to bring the Geula. Number one was Yavne and its Chachamim, because we were then switching from a Torah Shebichsav type of learning to a Torah Shebaal Peh type of learning. We need to make sure to have a back and forth in our learning. When we're able to learn on that level, like this, that's the beginnings for how we're going to have a Geula. And this is actually a very interesting idea. At the end of Sefer Bamidbar, we know that there's really five books of the Torah, right? Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim. But Dvarim is a little bit separate. Dvarim is known as Mishneh Torah, right? Because it's kind of a repeat. So really, the end of Bamidbar is kind of the end of the Torah as we know it. And what's the last story in the Torah? The end of Bamidbar. It's the whole story of the Benos Tzlafchad. Talking about how when Moshe was going and divvying up the land, the daughters of Tzlafchad said, hey, what about us? Why should we miss out? Our father passed away. Why should we miss out? What does Moshe say back? It's a good point. I don't know. I got to go ask God. Very strange ending for the entire Torah. Kind of anticlimactic. What exactly is going on here as this is the ending? And I once heard a beautiful idea. This is actually the perfect ending for the Torah. Why? Because when the Torah ends, everything else starts. The Torah ends, and this is our first Shilas and Tshuvas. It's our first good question answer back and forth. They ask a question, a great question. Moshe's like, I'm not sure. I got to go look it up. I got to go speak to God. That set the tone for the rest of Jewish history because we are supposed to be constantly learning and living our Torah. We're living in a... It's a living Torah. It's not just a Torah that was here, a nice little history book. It's here to guide us through every single step of every single day. That's what it's there for. That's request number one. The second request is Rabbi Tzadok. Well, there's really the third one. But Rabbi Tzadok to heal him because this is the bracha of Aha Tzadikim. We need great leaders. We need Talmidei Chachamim. We need our Tzadikim to be able to be healthy and to be able to guide us properly. And then lastly, the keeping of the offspring of Rabbi Gamliel, because we need the Malchus Beis David. We're asking for the Mashiach to be able to come, coming from the house of David. Fascinating that it comes from David. Think about all the people that it comes from. This Mashiach that we're hoping for comes from Yehuda and Tamar, which was a very interesting story. Comes from Lot and his daughters, another very interesting story. Comes from Rus, another very interesting story. David and Bathsheba, another very interesting story. There's a lot of very murky roots that seem to come, and the idea is that we struggle, it happens, we know. But we continue to push forward. We make the best with what we can. There is so much there. Some say that this bracha of Es Tzemach David Avdecha is that we're trying to get a little bit of David within all of us. What this means is that David represented Ani Tfilasi. No matter what was happening in his life, he recognized where things were coming from. He recognized who's in charge of everything, and he lived in that way. David HaMelech himself says, Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha, the special simcha that he had, that I am a servant of Hashem. This is what it's all about. This is what he's trying to get. Then we say, Vikarno tarum bishuasecha, and his horn. What's this referring to? No, it's not referring to the horns that people think that we have. Rabbi Chaim Marcus from Springfield, a lot of stuff I've heard from him. He was saying that he was once in the most random place in the world. I forgot where he said. And he was getting a haircut because there was a barber, and the guy was taking off his kippah and like backing away. And he's like, "You're looking for the horns?" And the guy's like, he's like, "It's not real." And he was like shocked because that's what people mamish think. People mamish think that there's horns and that's what's happening. But the karna, what's this referring to? This is referring to the horn of anointment that we're hoping that this is going to be a strong type of lasting anointment when it comes to David. Shaul got one out of earthenware and it broke quickly. Shaul's kingdom was not there to stay for the long term, but David's, we're hoping, is going to be forever and ever. We then say, Kili Shuascha Kivinu Koyom, because we are hoping in you every single day. What it means is that, number one, we know that it's up to Hashem what's going to be, and we're davening to Hashem. We know that this is fully up to you, but we're also asking for Hashem to be saved for his own sake. Geula is also for Hashem. Hashem is also in Gullus. The Gemara in Brachos talks about how there was a certain person that was walking through a certain area and he heard crying, and Eliyahu HaNavi came and asked this person, what did you hear? And he heard Hashem crying, woe unto the nation that they're exiled, and woe unto me that I'm exiled also. Hashem wants us to be at that point where he's ready, where we are ready to go ahead and get everything that we can go and deserve. So we got to all daven when we daven for Hashem, right? The Gemara says when we daven for others struggling with the same thing, we might get answered first. So we daven for Hashem and Hashem will help us out. It works out perfectly. We have that amazing opportunity every single day. Matzmiach Karen Yeshua. That again, we should be able to daven for this redemption to come. And now to Shema Kolenu. So this seems to be the end of the Bakashos, even though Ritzeh also seems to be a Bakasha, that Hashem should accept our tefillos. But Shema Kolenu is, again, we It's called this bracha kolelas, where it includes all the other brachos. This is why, just practically lahalacha, let's say someone forgot the same tal matzor levracha, or if someone forgot the same bracha, or if someone was in Israel during that time when it's not December 4th yet, but it's post cheshvan. So you say things in Shema Kolenu. We always add things in. During a fast day, we're adding things into Shema Kolenu. Shema Kolenu is more of that general bracha. We keep the same text, but in our minds, there's a lot for us to think about. There's a lot for us to do. This also applies at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, which we'll talk about next week, by the Elokai Netzor, that there's a lot for us to think about. But our tefillah should be based on what we are thinking about. I think it was the Chernobyl Rav, they said that they once overheard him davening, and he was saying in Shema Kolenu that the person who cleans his house shouldn't quit. And they said, Rebbe, really? That seems below you. Well, first of all, if they understood how important that is, they would know that that's not below. But, right, especially around Pesach time. But he said, no, this is what I'm thinking about. If she quits, where else am I going to go? What am I going to do? I'm davening to Hashem, so I need to go and have anything that we're thinking about, anything that we're struggling with, we go and ask. People always ask, these teenagers, oh, I want to daven that the Jets should win. All right, first of all, it might be a bracha, a shove, because they're never going to win. They're terrible. Unless they get Roger. All right, anyway, point is, yeah, it sounds silly maybe to us because there are many more important things. But if that's what they're thinking about, good, they're looking to Hashem. Now, should we encourage other people to try to think of more important things? Maybe, yeah, probably. But the idea that when we're thinking of something that we go and put it on Hashem, that's a big deal, and that's certainly something that we are proud of and that we endorse. Now, this line of Shema Kolenu is also something that we say a lot of times around Yom Narayim, right? During all the Slichos, we open it, and this is another one of those examples. I think we spoke about it in the first year, how, you know, we say Aleinu Lishabach every single day, and oftentimes we're kind of running through it, and, oh, Aleinu V'nemar V'Hashem, but then on Rosh Hashanah, when we're in Malchios, and we're reading Aleinu Lishabach, it's mamish the same words. Shema Kolenu, the same thing. We have an opportunity every single day. Shema Kolenu Hashem Elokeinu Chus V'Rachim Aleinu V'Kabel B'Rachim V'Ratzon Estifil Aseinu, to go and daven that Hashem should listen to us in every way. So what's interesting is that we start Shema Kolenu, our voice, and then we end Ki Ata Shomea Tefila. So Hashem's listening to our voice, and then Hashem's listening to our tefillah. So some want to say, why our voice? Sorry. Why our voice? So Hashem explains. So some people explain that what we're trying to say over here is that even if we didn't have the proper kavana throughout davening, and maybe our tefillah wasn't what we were hoping it was going to be, which happens sometimes, still listen to our voice. Listen to who we really are, what we're really asking for. Another explanation might be, is that oftentimes, and this is what some people explain about the shofar, we spend so much time davening on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and then the shofar comes, and the shofar really functions as a tefillah. Especially in this shul, when we do shofar in the middle of the silent Shemoneh Esrei. And the bracha that we make on the shofar is Ki Ata Shomea Kol Shofar Mazinis Tefillah Seinu. It's considered a tefillah. The shofar is a type of tefillah. So what type of tefillah is the shofar? So some of the Mefarshim want to explain that we daven for everything under the sun that we can think of. We daven for everything we think is best for us. But ultimately, we don't always know what's best for us. I think they tell the story of Rav Soloveitchik, that he desperately wanted a rabbi job in Europe before World War II, and he was devastated when he didn't get it. And what did he say? He came to America, obviously had a big impact here. He said, Baruch Hashem, Hashem didn't listen to my tefillos. Can you imagine if Hashem listened to my tefillos? I'd have been dead like everybody else. We don't always know what's best for us. We do have to daven for the things that we think are best for us, but we don't always know. So even though maybe we're davening for one thing and something else is supposed to happen, Shema Kolenu, listen to our voice. Just do what's best for us. You know better than us what's supposed to be happening. We then also, when it comes to voices, so the pasuk says that Hashem loves Avram, Ekev Asher Avraham Bekoli, because Avraham would listen to my voice. What does this mean? Some say it refers to Akedas Yitzchak, that even when it makes no sense, still listen to me. Because think about it, Avram Avinu was promised he's going to grow up into a great nation from Yitzchak. If he's going to kill Yitzchak, how exactly is he going to become a great nation? Avraham was always preaching morality, and now comes God and gives him this command. How could it be? Avram was going to listen to him nonetheless. We say Hashem, even though it makes no sense, maybe we don't deserve everything that we're asking for, still Hashem, listen to our voice, listen to Kolenu, try to help us out in this way. Chus v'rachim aleinu, chus means compassion on something because you made, you know, when you, I think we call it the IKEA effect, we spoke about a few weeks ago in Shul, the IKEA effect, even though it's not the highest quality furniture, but when you spent your time building it, you feel a connection to it. So you don't want to get rid of the IKEA set, maybe that should have gotten rid of a long time ago, because I built this, that's my thing. Hashem, you created us, help us out for that purpose, and then we say chus v'rachim, but also help us rachim, we're nebuchs, we need help. we have to admit that we need help. It's hard, but we need help. And Hashem, please help us out. Then we say, V'kabel barachim v'ratzon es tefilos. Seinu Hashem, be mekabel our tefilos. Let our tefilos be and fit into the ratzon Hashem. Hashem, please help us out. And then we say, Reikam al teshivenu. Hashem, don't leave us empty-handed. Ask for anything, and Hashem, help us out. Why? Ki ata shomei tefilas amcha. Hashem, help us because we are your nation. We are yours. That's why you want to help us out. Please, Hashem, make it work. And remember, again, something that we spoke about in the beginning of the Bakashos, what are we asking for? What's the reason why we're asking for things? Chassam Sofer pointed out, we're asking for things so that way we can serve God better. It is much easier to serve God when we don't have to worry about refuah or parnasa or shidduch. It's much easier when we're able to have these things. Hashem, help us so we are able to serve you better and make sure that things are going well. So this is so much of our tefillah, so much what we're doing. We've gone through the bakashos, and it's just an unbelievable thing to see what we're trying to tap into and what we're trying to go ahead and ask Hashem for. Yeah. Such a good point. Such a good point.
I mean,
right. It's such a good question. So that was really the ending of 2 years ago when we broke it down into the reason. So it might be that Shema Kolenu was really the whole essence of the Karban Todah, which is basically the ending of the Yerushalayim Mashiach Karbanos, that maybe Shema Kolenu fits in terms of the Karbanos, and then we're asking that all of the Karbanos of the Jewish people, because the Kohanim represent really the entire Jewish people when doing that, there's a lot written on. That's an excellent question, but that's why people spend a lot of time figuring it out. Ultimately, Shema Kolenu, this bracha kolelas that we're talking about, this all-inclusive bracha, is for everyone in Kal Yisrael. Right, so just like all the other brachos are Baruch Aleinu and Rifa'inu, so when it comes to this final bracha, it's also a general request. But you're right, there's a lot spoken about that. It might be more Karbanos based because of that idea. But I think in terms of us relating to it, I've always had an easier time relating to it just as this all-inclusive asking type of bracha, where we should certainly, what is our first request, right? When we're having our request, we should also ask for Mashiach in the Beis HaMikdash, even though we just did. But that should be something that even makes it to our personal asks, so we can make it a more general type of comments, but that's an excellent, excellent question. Okay, anything else? Okay, so let's do maybe, okay, we still have a few more minutes. Let's do a little Ritze. Now, Ritze is very interesting because now we're on the third section. Remember, we said there's three sections of Shemoneh Esrei. There's Shevach, which is the first three brachos, then there's Bakasha, which is what we've spent the last 3 weeks doing, and then there's Hodah, right? Hodah, though, is just really modim in that one bracha, Vatov Shemcha Olchamei Lehodos. That's really Hodah, which means Ritzei, Sim Shalom, and Elokai Netzor are not necessarily Hodah, but they're in the Hodah section. So we're going to have to figure out what exactly is happening in Ritzei, what are we trying to tap into. So it seems like this is another Bakasha. Now it's interesting to note, this is a Bakasha that Hashem should accept our tefillos. It is, that's true, but this is a Bakasha that we're even allowed to ask on Shabbos. Generally, we don't ask for things on Shabbos, because you're not supposed to have Bakashos, but when it comes to this one we are, because Rav Shlomo Zalman points out, and this is something interesting to think about, even though we're not supposed to ask for things on Shabbos, when it comes to spiritual gains and spiritual growth, that you are allowed to ask for on Shabbos. So we should think about that, and we should take advantage of that opportunity. That is an amazing opportunity that we have. Now, there are people that say that this bracha kind of changed over time. Why? Because when this bracha was made, when Shemoneh Esrei was made, it was by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. Right? That's why we said, remember, they reinstituted V'lam al-Shinim after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when all of the other Jews were getting the Jews in trouble with the Romans. So it was when the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, and there were Kabanos, and now we're talking about V'ishe Yisrael u'sfilasam. So some want to say that this bracha was really changed over time, and that's why we say, Amachazir Shechina so l'tzion, return the Shechina to Tzion. But when they made the bracha, really, the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. And that's why, what's interesting, if you look on Yontif by Musaf, right, when we duchen, so there's another bracha we say to end this bracha, right? What's the bracha? Sho'uscha levadcha b'yira na'avod. It's a different ending to that bracha. What does it mean we have a different ending to that bracha? And the answer is that maybe that was really the initial bracha. All right? V'sei arev l'fanecha asirasinu, page 308. Baruch atah Hashem, sho'uscha levadcha b'yira na'avod. Interesting. So the Rav liked to always keep just Hamachazir Shechina Solitzion, but to recognize that maybe there was another version to this, because it used to be that we want Hashem to accept our karbanos. Now, instead of karbanos, we have tefila, so we're asking Hashem to go and accept our tefilos. We know we say V'ishei Yisrael, that we want the karbanos, but also Ishe is our fire and our passion. We want to feel our service of Hashem. We're not robots. I was talking to a rabbi recently about feeling robotic, big Talmud Chacham, about like just general robotic in Judaism, that it's tough. We sometimes just go on like a, because that's what we do, not because we're thinking about it. And you said it, just something that got me thinking. You know, at the end of the day, we're working and we're working on a computer all day. We could spend like 8 hours in front of a computer. Does someone go to their computer? By the way, great job today. Loved it. No one says that to their computer. If you do, you're a pretty nice person, right? It's the general question. When you're talking to Alexa, do you say please? Or when you write ChatGPT, do you write please write me this? By the way, anyone used it? ChatGPT? It's crazy. I told them to write a poem. We did baseball themed Shalchmanos. I write me a baseball poem for Purim, and it was unbelievable. Just like 1 second, it was like all about Mordechai and the captain, and unbelievable. And then for my mother-in-law, I asked him to write a whole grain themed Purim something poem, and makes sense. A whole grain poem themed for Purim, unreal in like 1 second. But do you write please to ChatGPT? Do you write please to Alexa? Would that have to do with anything? Right, robotics. We don't say please to our computers because that's not so impressive. We're not impressed that our computers did it because it's the struggle. It's the day-to-day. Are we going to do this? Are we not going to do this? The thinking about things, that's what separates us. That's what makes us great. We see it then say, V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcho etziyom rachamim. We're asking Hashem, make it now and let me be there when it happens. And Rav Mansour points out, spoke here a few weeks ago, he likes to say that if we're asking that we should be able to see the greatest revelation in the history of the world, that means we have to guard our eyes from seeing other things that we're not supposed to see during the rest of that time, so that way we'll be zocha too. All right, an interesting approach. But again, Hamachazir Shechina Sol Etzion, we're asking not only that we should be redeemed, but that Hashem should be redeemed as well. Again, so much to discuss here. And next week, Mir Hashem, we'll finish off with the rest of Hodah. We'll talk about Hodah, a little bit of Shalom, a little bit of Elokai Netzor, the final Bakashos. But there's just so much there that we have the opportunity to tap into. And thank God, we have a lot of opportunity. You missed one, you missed half of Shmoneh Esrei, you missed part of a bracha. It's okay. Move to the next one, continue going. Each opportunity, each second is a new chance to go ahead and connect. And Mir Hashem, we should be able to take full advantage of it. Thank you so much for coming.